Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/thescope. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
it's Nerd Roundtable time. We talk about E3, WWDC, and much more. And Shane patiently waits for Sega to re-enter the hardware market.
And now, here are your hosts, Jarrett, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, everybody. The Scope coming at you. Episode 141, guys. Never thought it would go this long.
Feels like just yesterday we did an episode.
Feels like just seconds ago.
Oh, what? Practically.
Yeah, 141, we are...
I'm really proud of you guys for getting that joke in immediately.
Adam has it exactly right.
Yeah, we are in the heart of our sixth season, aren't we, guys? Or our sixth year.
Seventh year. Our seventh year began in April, Shane.
It's very, very exciting.
They call it Series 7 in the UK.
They do.
Or the seventh series.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. So we are as...
We got Cumberbatch coming on later on.
Cumberbatch going to hang out.
That's why he's leaving. Oh, no, that's not Doctor Who. Is that Doctor Who?
No.
Sure. I'm going to go with... That guy is the new Doctor Who.
Oh, God. You just gave a lot of women some orgasms.
Whoa. It's a first for everything. That's what I say.
Wow.
Well, we are in...
That was good. That was really good.
Thank you very much. Hey, guys. We're trying out our new Scope format. That means more condensed, powerful shows...
Powerful
shows.
Like a beer can. A
little bit shorter, yeah. But like just as exciting.
Affirmative, Dr. Smith.
Like a Red Bull can.
Like yes, yeah. But girthier.
Yeah. We're loaded with taurine.
Like a Campbell soup can.
I don't know what the hell is going on now. So, yeah.
Phosphates, anyone?
Yes. A bicarbonate or whatever. All right, it's a soda, see?
Right now, comments are rolling in on the successful first episode of the new format, Shane, and I'm sure people are just delighted. We'll catch up with those later on down the road. We're not going to get to them right now.
We won't. We won't do that.
Got too much show.
We got a lot of show, and I suppose we should tease exactly what that's going to be. One of our most popular, noteworthy, original segments that we've done for the past 7 years.
Lauded.
6 years and change, lauded.
It's a plus. You can put a plus at the end.
Of course, would be the Nerd Roundtable. That's where we get together. We discuss important, nerdy topics of the day. Mm-hmm. And we've got topics, boys. We've got topics.
Let's not talk about how my house that I closed on last week, though.
We will not get into that.
Last week.
Wow. What a champion.
That is off. You make a lot of assumptions about your life, don't you, Adam?
Yes.
And we've got Under the Scope coming as well. So I'm excited to push on with the Scope.
Yeah, let's do it.
So let's do it. So
this is the Fump.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. I'm on a cruise ship on the water, and there's nothing that could spoil it if we only had a single working toilet.
O-H-M-Y-G-O-D-I-M-O-N-F-I-R-E.
Take me down to the Vatican City where the nuns get done and the priests get pretty.
The dragon's lair, he argued tactics for an hour, till we fed him to the dragon, then we killed it in 3 rounds, best game ever.
What doesn't kill you makes you smaller, mushrooms make you taller, that's what makes you Super Mario.
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com, thefump.com.
Hey, Scope fans, Jared, Adam, and myself, Shane, back, presenting you the Nerd Roundtable. This is that time where we talk about all of the important things in nerd and geek culture, and hopefully we won't come to blows.
What kind of blows?
You know.
Sexy blows?
Sexy blows. Write that down. I like that. I'm going to use that later. Sexy blows.
He's written it down. Sexy blows. Exclamation mark.
No, just...
All right.
Just sexy blows in all caps, Jared.
That's the only way to deliver a sexy blow.
Yes, indeed, we've got a couple topics here that I'm sure you're all willing and excited to hear us discuss, so let's jump right into it. Nice, Jared. Like you punctuated it with a little body blow.
Is that a sexy body blow?
Sexy. Of course it's a sexy body blow. Everything we do here is sexy. So let's get into the latest and greatest events in the world of consumer electronics. Just recently, we've had 2013 E3 Electronics Entertainment Expo, as well as
Exposition.
Exposition, as well as Apple's latest event, the Worldwide
Developers
Conference, which
WWDC,
which is really out there to show off the latest version of iOS. Maybe get some hardware out there. Talk about how great Apple is.
Mm-hmm.
Apple under a lot of stress, a lot of pressure lately. They're not putting out new products all the time, Jared. They're not delivering to the consumers. Samsung is catching up.
Well, I mean, Apple's got a problem in that I think they're working to address this, but they sort of had their fixed release cycles. Everyone knew when the new product was.
Sure.
So other companies have since decided to, you know, kind of plan their launches to be right after. Or in a gap in a product cycle for Apple and sort of take advantage of that. And so I think Apple sort of try to switch things up here and not be so predictable.
So do you guys think that was a successful conference for Apple? Did they accomplish what they needed to do? Did they reclaim the hearts and minds of Apple faithful and the financial markets out there? Or was this just a little bit more of the same?
Well, I think the biggest thing that came out of this was, you know, we'd heard about a year ago Johnny Ive, who's been their hardware designer extraordinaire, for a long time, was taking over the design role for iOS, and so we now saw the beginning results, I guess, of that. They're removing the skeuomorphism, as it's called. From
that's your wood, your felt, your faux leather,
right,
that kind of stuff.
Right.
Oh, that's always been a big internal battle in the halls of the Cupertino headquarters.
Yes.
You have different factions wanting clean design versus this more.
Let's make the thing look like a real life thing.
Yeah. Right. So like you have the calendar app, which, you know, has the leather. It's leather bound, and you drag the paper to the next day or the next month.
Sure.
When it's like that's. It's abstract. The month is represented, you know, digitally. You don't need to be doing that.
So they were smart. They've stripped that stuff away and realizing that the people are now far enough along in iOS that they understand how things operate. So now they can sort of maybe abstract things a bit further and add new functionality on top of that that doesn't rely on things functioning like a real life object.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if they did anything successful because they didn't really. I mean, they announced the new Power Macs, the desktop Mac Pro. Thank you,
yep.
Power Mac. Wow.
The R2-D2-esque.
Yeah, and it's weird looking, and it reminds me a lot of the Apple Cube. I'm sure they don't want to hear.
That was a lot of people's first criticism. I almost did too. Yeah. The Mac Pro is really designed for a very targeted segment of this. The real high
video editing,
the 3D graphic artists, stuff like that. I think it's fine. It's not for me. I'll still continue to make my own Hackintoshes because I can do that for $600-$700, and they're just not going to market to me. There's no margins in a guy like me,
right? Yeah, so, your computer is probably as powerful and doesn't cost even as much as an iMac.
My current computer is comparable to the current 21-inch iMac,
sure,
line,
so at half the price, give or take, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know, we knew they weren't going to announce new iPhones. That's the September event. iPads, September event. So in the iMacs,
a January event in previous, or January, February. Which
sure.
Is,
I think they want to get everything out before Christmas.
You'll see new iPads this fall.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
And you may see a new iPad with me.
Oh, you might have to.
It's law, you know.
Jared's going to beat you up and take yours. That's what he's saying.
You've got to upgrade.
So I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see what the whole stock market was down all week. So I don't know that Apple. You could take what they did and make it out to be anything more than people still being disappointed or people saying, all right, this is good enough for now or whatever. Those new Mac Pros are going to be assembled in America.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Not manufactured,
Yeah, I mean, the components are still going to be made in Asia.
Right.
That's just where the fabrication is these days.
The same thing that Toyota does with their Tennessee plant and Subaru does with their plant, wherever that is.
So it's a partial win for Team USA.
Right.
We're building some stuff here. That's what we're getting to.
We're putting some packages together.
Jobs.
Sexy packages.
It's probably cheaper to ship the components anyway and then assemble them here.
Yeah, they're not.
A lot of their Mac Pro clients are in the U.S. anyway. So.
Right. So would you think it was a successful show, Jared?
I think so.
Did it just do what it needed to do?
I can't really comment on the hardware stuff because I'm not really the Mac Pro updates seem like people are happy with those. The MacBook Pro and Air updates people are happy about those. The Mac Pro looks interesting, not for me, like I said. I think a lot of people have griped that it's not that expandable because you can't put anything inside, but I think it's an acknowledgement that things have moved beyond the whole put a card in, put a hard drive in expansion paradigm, and everything's external now. There's a lot of external stuff in that market that people can use. Again, not for me. They had an update to Mac OS X. They got rid of the big cats now because they ran out of big cats, and they're now using California locations. And so the new one is Mac OS X Mavericks, named for a surfing beach. I didn't see a whole lot of new stuff, but you know, some interesting new stuff. I mean, it's a very mature product,
sure.
So there isn't a whole lot of innovation you can do as long as you're pushing forward and you're supporting new technology. I like the update to the Finder is nice, and the tagging is nice. I'll definitely take advantage of those. And it's sort of, unfortunately, it hurts some of the small time app developers who were doing Finder enhancements or replacements. Basically, kicks them right in the nuts, but.
So
you got to do that.
Is it starting to become a little bit more of a convergence of iOS and macOS?
I think it's becoming less of a convergence.
Less.
Honestly, I think you're going to see probably a little bit less. I think you're seeing interoperability. They talked about the notifications working across systems and being aware of when you saw a notification on one system, clearing it on another,
kind
of stuff. So there is a lot of iOS and macOS talking. And sort of kind of just refining that whole experience, but I think as far as bringing more iOS features to macOS, probably not. I didn't see it.
Okay. They got beat up pretty bad last time they did that.
Yeah, because they tried to get a little too fancy with the iOSification. The problem is iOS is completely changing how it looks, and none of that look and feel fits with macOS 10 anymore. So. If they want to add those features, they're going to figure out new ways to do it.
Sure.
And until they introduce kind of a touchscreen Mac, them adding too much touch and gesture-based stuff is a problem because there's only a small part. I guess it's not a small part, but there's only a segment of their customers, the people who have trackpads, who can actually use any of that stuff.
Sure.
So
one last thing before we move on to the next big electronics entertainment story. What about this iRadio business where Mac is now getting into the streaming music world? They're taking on Pandora. They're taking on Spotify,
They're not. They're not taking on Spotify. I told you this over IM. I think it's too little too late in this area. They have a very large iTunes audience, and maybe this plays really well to those people. If you have Match, their Match service, then it's free and ad-free to you already. But for me, I couldn't care less. I'm a Spotify user. Spotify lets me pick and play any track individually. I don't have to listen to a stream and curate a stream. I just can just find the music I want and listen to it all for a $5 monthly fee or free, whatever. I think Spotify is still the king in this segment.
Adam.
Yeah, it's weird to take on Pandora. Maybe Pandora is still, you know, the king when it comes to this, but
I think Pandora's in trouble. Honestly.
Yeah. Pandora, you pick an artist or a song and it builds a radio station, you know, around the radio station, you know, it builds a stream around that and you can, you know, give things thumbs up, thumbs down to kind of change that around a little bit.
Collect curation.
Yeah, you can't just pick what you want. You can't say I want to listen to the new Queens of the Stone Age album. And it's ad supported, which is weird to me because if you're used to playing your music on your iPhone or your iPod from the music app, You don't have ads in that.
No. Unless you're an iTunes Match subscriber, and then you
exactly
no ads.
And I don't know. Maybe they felt like they had enough of those, where or they would get they would gain enough more where you know it made sense financially. I just don't understand it from a financial standpoint.
I think part of what they're aiming for is since you can have such integration with iTunes that they think that people are going to buy a ton of music.
It's very possible.
And
they will.
They may or they may not, because you have once again Jared talking about Spotify, how you're being spoiled. You don't need to own the music to listen to whatever you want to.
It is an end-to-end solution from that. If you're listening to an iTunes radio stream, and you're like, oh, I like this song, click, purchase, it's in my library.
Right.
Very, very simple for those people who live in the iTunes ecosystem. That's not me.
No. We'll see how that plays out, to be determined, I think. But interesting that they're getting into the space probably about 2 years too late.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. Maybe earlier.
It's been rumored forever. Once they bought, like, what was it, Lala they bought a couple years back? And people were like, oh, what are they going to do? Because they were, Lala sort of did streaming audio like this too. I guess this is what they did with them.
I don't necessarily think it was a problem on Apple's end. I think it was on the music producer's end.
Absolutely.
To hold them from cornering yet another part of the music market.
Yep.
So we'll see how that works out for everyone. So our other story in terms of electronics, obviously, is E3.
This is where I bow out.
This it was a megaton bomb of announcements.
Right.
Filled with hubris and schadenfreude and all sorts of interesting things. We've got...
The internet already proclaimed a winner in the next round of consoles.
It's done. Microsoft, close up shop.
It was predicted during the middle of Sony's show that Monday night. So for the people that don't know what we're talking about... E3 is a place where all the big guns in video games come out and announce all their stuff. This is a specific or a very important year for Sony, Microsoft, and to a lesser degree, Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Sony announcing their pricing, what their console is going to look like for the PlayStation 4. Microsoft giving more information. They already announced what it looked like a few weeks prior.
They gave pricing.
They gave pricing. And
first time they did that.
And more clarification. Reskinned
the Xbox 360, guys.
They reskinned it to look like the new Xbox One.
Right. Which is weird because the S, neither of you guys have the Xbox Slim or S, do you? The one that's been out for like a year and a half?
I have the one, the shiny one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like that. I mean, other than it not being square.
Yeah.
It's just,
or rectangular.
It's the same, almost exact same hardware inside.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know if they've changed anything on the inside in terms of condensing electronics.
Nothing.
So that's.
Which is
one
weird.
One of many
because,
weird things that Microsoft did this show.
Well, and I would imagine. I could see that being confusing to parents when they go to buy. They're like, hey, I want the new Xbox.
Yeah.
If they don't know anything, they're like, oh, okay, that one, it looks the same.
Microsoft made a few questionable choices that are going to be confusing to customers down the road.
So, and I talked to Jared about this. I may even talk to Adam about this as well. But I think you find that every new generation of video games, the company that is in control gets full of itself and screws things up for their next generation. It seemed to have happened year after year after year. Microsoft completely in control. I mean, you can say what you want, but essentially they own this generation of hardware.
Especially
in the U.S.
Right.
And so they decided people are going to play by our rules. And when they did that, what did they decide to do, Adam? They announced like 3 weeks prior to E3. They came out with a bunch of information.
Yeah, they said, and this had been rumored for a long time, but they didn't really have a good answer for it, which was weird. They knew they were going to get questioned on it. But basically they said, we will run a centralized service. So when you buy a game, either digitally or on disc, it will install onto the Xbox and... you will pair your Xbox and user account kind of to the game so that if you go to resell it, it is going to be deauthorized from your computer or from your Xbox, and there's some sort of centralized process. You maybe can't just give the disc to a friend to borrow it because you'd have to log into their Xbox in order for them to do that. They were... very cagey on it.
And this stuff, and these rumors in certain forms have been percolating for months.
Yeah.
And, you know, also the fact that, you know, it's an always-on system, so it either always has to be connected to the internet or has to dial up or...
It's once every 24 hours.
That's what
connects.
We learned. That was sort of the rumor. So pretty much every bad rumor that was out about the new Xbox came true in some form or another, and it set the world on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft gambled, and they decided they were going to put all this stuff out a few weeks before E3, and probably knowing that it was going to get a bad reaction and hoping that they could sort of dull the blow, and then when E3 comes, they could wow them with their game lineup.
Yeah, but they had different, like, different people were giving different answers in these 3 weeks leading up. Like, they did a real bad job of managing
it. They didn't control their message
right. So their message was a mess, and so once E3 came up, people wanted clarified messages. That's what they were expecting.
Can we sell games? Yeah. Can we loan games? So, how does this work?
So what Microsoft did instead was not mention it. They didn't mention any of the stuff
during
their
press
their press conference, and all they did was they announced a bunch of games.
Right.
Some really great, some not so great, but it really made people feel like, hey, you're not really giving the consumer the gentle touch that they need in this time that is going to determine what people are going to initially think of your system. And then they dropped the big bomb, which was
the price.
The price.
So now, I would say no one was I don't think anyone was expecting $500 for the Xbox. The 360.
It was whispered.
Well, the 360 was $300 and $400, depending on which one you wanted to buy initially. They offered like the Elite. They had different SKUs along the way, but that was the initial. There was a $300 and $400.
First Xbox was $500 though, when it came out, wasn't it?
Or was it four and five?
Okay, no, I think the Xbox One, the very first Xbox, was $500 when it came out.
Right,
but you're right. 360, I believe, was $399 and $299.
Right, and you know we've been hearing these rumors about subsidized Xbox Ones for a while now. We've been hearing all this stuff, and with the way the economy is, and the things, the components in the Xbox One, people were more along the lines of about probably a $400 Xbox One, and maybe with a subsidized price, maybe $200.
Yeah.
There's these rumors that they have these deals with Comcast that are still kind of, you know,
you pay monthly and you can get it cheap, essentially. But you're not really getting it cheap.
You're just like your cell phone.
You're stretching it out over a long period
of time. Right. So when they announced that, and they, like, if you watch the, it's on YouTube, if you watch the press comments, they skim right over that price. Like, they don't really want to even address it. Like,
and the price is going to be $499. Right. Moving on. Yeah. Cyrus,
and it'll be available in November. And, you know, it's just like,
and away we go. Good night, everybody. And they wave and they run off the stage real fast.
That being said, they may have had the best exclusive title, which is Titanfall.
From the makers of Call of Duty
Modern Warfare, those guys after their whole Activision lawsuit thing. So, I mean, I'm sure that they felt the games will make everything else not matter.
Yeah. But it didn't.
Right, because then 8 hours later, Sony's press conference happens, and
what do they do, Adam?
In a very non-Sony way, they start just attacking Microsoft, just like
point by point by point.
They say, "You know what? You can loan your games. We don't care.
You don't have to have your system plugged in to play.
There is no check. You know, it does not dial home.
It's region free. No DRM.
Exactly. Now
some of that stuff's a little dicey.
Right? They've kind of taken a step back a little bit and said, well, if third party publishers want to do stuff, that's on them. But it sounds like they are not going to be running a central system to help that. So maybe that means EA does their $10 online pass thing,
which they say they're not going to do.
Right.
So
who knows?
It was a failure.
They'll rename it or something like that.
It's not all roses for Sony though either, because they did talk about their Plus Pass or whatever their multiplayer thing is.
Right.
That
you will now have to pay to play multiplayer games.
Right. And PlayStation Plus was such a value add to begin with that I think a lot of people are okay swallowing that, because you're basically getting two free games a month just by having that service. So
the thing is that Microsoft screwed up so bad that people didn't even flinch at that.
Right, because then, like, to top it off, Sony's like, oh yeah, also, here's the price, $400.
Yep. And Sony learned, because what did they release the PlayStation 3 at?
$600.
$600.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it stopped them dead cold in America. They were on top of the world with the PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't walk into a house that didn't have one of these things, and then all of a sudden,
well, you could walk into mine for a while. I did eventually get one, but
I have never owned a Sony console.
Wow.
This may be my first Sony console that I buy. And it's not like $400. Like, we shouldn't be like, oh, so nice of Sony to bestow on us a $400 video
expensive
game console. But the fact that, like, it was easy for them, and there's all these rumors coming out now. Who knows how true they are, but supposedly that slide for their press conference that said $399 available before fall, supposedly that slide was edited or made that day. So in response to Microsoft coming out with pricing, because no one really expected pricing at E3. In the past, pricing's come out much closer to maybe September, right when you know they started announcing these things. But we haven't had an Amazon in the state that it is right now, where you can just pre-order and you're good to go for months ahead of time.
And that's one thing they did, by the way, which is new, that they had pre-orders for both systems ready to go.
Amazon did,
immediately after all the Best Buy had it, Walmart had it, which is unusual. So,
and I would say, so Foxconn has already confirmed they have an order from Sony for 16 million PlayStation 4s available at launch.
We'll
just see. To give you I know, but just to give you some idea on that, there's only 15 million PS3s that have been sold in America the entire generation.
That's it. Wow,
That's amazing news.
So, you know, theoretically, there should not be a shortage. Who knows? They'll have
when has there not been a shortage? There's always been a shortage.
The Wii U?
Well, it doesn't mean they're going to have 16 million even on launch day.
Yeah.
So. Right.
The pricing is a bit apples to oranges comparison, because you got to consider that the Xbox One comes with a Kinect.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to always have that thing turned on.
That's the other thing that's built into it, and it's watching you.
Can you turn it around? Does it have to be facing out?
They said that there's settings where you can say, you know, turn it off altogether, so you can't just say Xbox on and stuff like that. So if you're scared of it, you can...
With all the things going the NSA...
Just get a little hat and make you wear a hat.
A top hat.
Yeah. So it probably segues into our next story with the Kinect watching us at all times.
Yeah, I suppose. Are we done with E3?
I'm never done with
one last thing.
Yes,
Adam, you pre-ordered an Xbox One.
I pre-ordered
one too.
I pre-ordered both.
Did you? Okay.
And fully intending to probably cancel one or both of them. But Amazon lets you pre-order up until the day it ships, and not charge your credit card. So I don't really care.
Yeah, I didn't do a PS4. I did. If I'm going to get one of them, it'll be the Xbox. And if I decide to wait on that, I probably just wait for a while.
So what does Microsoft have to do to make you not want an Xbox One?
Well, I don't know yet. I mean, I'm expecting... I still feel like Xbox has time to walk back a little bit from their position, but that is...
That's just software. I mean, they could change it at any time, really.
I mean, because the big question came up, okay, what happens when this generation of video games are done and you go to the Xbox 2? They're like, well, don't worry. It doesn't have to be plugged in, because we can just essentially flip a switch and you can play the stuff. So the idea is, if you can do that then, why can't you do that now?
Yeah, because their agreements with EA and Activision and everyone have probably said that they can't. Now, the thing is, this is exactly how it works on Steam with PCs right now. So Steam has amazing sales, because there is no secondary market for PC games. So theoretically, you could say this should lead to cheaper Xbox One game prices. Probably won't.
They're locking in the price now at $60. So
yes, there won't be $70 games. We can be happy about that.
Yeah,
I guess
they're not going to get us.
Well, you get your deluxe collector's editions.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the verdict is still out. There's a lot of time between now and November to see if companies, you know, the posturing and the chest puffing is going to change. I don't know. I tend to think that Microsoft will be comfortable releasing their system at $500 and keeping everything as is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they even said during E3, if you want a system that's not plugged in, we've got one. It's called a 360, and you can totally have that. And people are like, "What the?
Yeah, it's a weird
F is going
it's a
on
weird
with
response."
That. So we'll have to see how it plays out. But I
will say, it was still not the worst E3 press conference of all time. That goes to Sega in 2004 when they announced the Dreamcast, and they said, "And it'll be available next week." And all their retail partners said, what? Because they hadn't told anyone, so it wasn't available at Best Buy or on Amazon. If that was, and that was a disaster. That is the reason that maybe it was the Saturn. I think it was the Saturn. That is like one of the main reasons that Sega eventually had to exit the hardware market.
Well, if it was Saturn, it was earlier in 2004. And one thing, Jared, we haven't even talked about Nintendo.
Yep.
And I think that's sort of apropos considering how their show went and where the Wii U is going.
It's a big failure.
Nowhere.
Isn't it?
Nowhere. Topic two, as Jared was talking about, always watching you. We've got this whole idea
it's
of
really
the,
topic three.
Of, well, what's that?
Go ahead.
Well, topic one is sort of electronics together.
Okay.
We're talking NSA. We are talking America spying on people. We've got Snowden, who is a whistleblower. It's a big week for whistleblowers.
Got a hot girlfriend, though.
Got a hot girlfriend who likes to do
I've not seen her yet.
Pole dancing.
Oh.
I don't know a lot about this
She's
stuff,
She's got a
guys.
YouTube channel, Adam.
We've got Adam and Jared, who know everything about news.
I'm on YouTube right now, guys. I can't respond to this.
Jared, are you concerned First of all, tell us about this whole conflict with the government watching us in general broad terms.
I'm no expert, but basically what came out is that there it first kind of came out in waves. First it was The Guardian in the UK reporting that Verizon had turned over a bunch of call records to the NSA. And then the next day it came revealed that there was this whole program called Prism that was collecting data across all kinds of services, cell phone companies, internet companies like Google, Apple, Facebook, even though some denied,
internet fridges.
Some denied it. And basically, it's not necessarily that they were reading content, but that they were collecting a lot of metadata, and that there was a whole system of checks and balances, supposedly, to you know, before people could actually get access to the data. Well, it just came out like yesterday that, in fact, the NSA has been listening to phone calls.
Sure.
And by the time you listen to this episode, this will be old news, yeah. But and it will probably be even more breaking things. But
so you get a whistleblower who is working as a contract worker.
Right. He reveals this whole system called Prism that exists. He's now on the run.
Yeah. He went to the bastion of free speech and protection, China, essentially.
Hong Kong, though. Hong Kong has a pretty good.
So he'll be okay there.
Well, we'll see. I'm really all over the map on this. I mean, my first instinct is, my God, this is terrible. What is the government doing? My second instinct is, well, how come we are in this situation? Well, we're in this situation is because of 9/11. That's where it begins. Well, mm-hmm. Maybe it begins before.
I think it probably begins before it.
Probably does.
9/11 institutionalized it and put it out in the open.
Exactly. That accelerated it. You get your Patriot Act, which allows, you know, just surveillance on ostensibly foreign people and whatever like that. But that gets turned inside to citizens of the country. And then Congress goes ahead and instead of sunsetting the Patriot Act in the wake of 9/11, they just go ahead and say, nope, we're going to let it go forever. And so now you have basically this situation where it's completely legal for the government to collect all of this data about us, which is the sad thing. It's like we can get mad as we want about it, but they really, well, it remains to be seen. But for the most part, they haven't broken any laws. And that's where the problem is. Our laws are messed up.
Yikes.
Yeah. Our laws allow this to happen.
So do you come from a standpoint of, or perspective of, this is okay because this is what we do to stop terrorism?
I don't agree. No, I don't come from, I think this is a terrible thing, and I'm more on the side of this is a breach of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, the unreasonable search and seizure. You're supposed to have targeted reasons why you are collecting data on a specific person. You have to have what's a probable cause, basically. And they're just wholesale collecting metadata on everything and searching it for patterns and trying to figure out, you know, who's talking to whom and who's plotting what, all in the guise of Homeland Security and protecting us from terrorism. But guess what? It doesn't matter if we're living in a state where we can't even have a private conversation without the government knowing about it.
You're getting these giant, massive complexes for storing this data and processing this data.
Yottabytes.
Adam, let me throw this over to you. How does this impact where we go in terms of the elections? I mean, this is going to be a huge issue, at least in the short term. Is this something where someone could campaign on this and try to change the laws, or do you think that all the politicians, for the most part, are in cahoots on this and they're fine with it?
I'm sure there are politicians that are legitimately opposed to this. They're not only going to campaign on it to
many,
right? But I feel like there's going to be plenty that do campaign on it that really don't give a damn one way or another. But I think it won't matter because I think we've seen United States citizens don't care. Overwhelmingly, they are either...
A recent poll just came out saying that most people are fine with this.
They're either ambivalent or they're for it. Because
they sort of take that, well, I don't have anything to hide. Go ahead.
Right. They can campaign on it all they want. But, you know, I think maybe it's more interesting on the Republican side because I think on the Democrat side, it's Hillary Clinton, assuming she runs, is obviously for doing this sort of thing. And I don't know who would run against her that would be able to, you know, bring that up as an actual issue. Because, you know, if Biden runs, he's for it also.
Too.
So, you know, on the Republican side, maybe you have someone like Rand Paul, who's crazy in his own right, but, you know, theoretically is against this to some extent. But again, I don't think it matters. I'm against it. I think that 9/11 is still an easy thing to make people think about and recall. And, you know, you can say, all right, well, let's get rid of this. The moment a 9/11 type thing happens, or even not, like let's just say another Boston bombing thing happens,
which
you know.
This had did not foresee at all.
Right, exactly.
Complete failure of that system to stop the Boston bombing.
Right. But if, like, let's say we cancel this, and then a year later something, you know, quote unquote small like the Boston
bombing.
See,
we told you that's what you'd hear.
Exactly. Yeah.
The problem with this is, and this is, I hate slippery slope arguments, but this is a case where it is completely valid. You're using it now to stop terrorism. What is to prevent the some government body from using this information to now specifically target people of a particular political belief or gun owners? I hate to come out in favor of gun owners because I'm really not a fan of a lot of them, but you know, I don't think they should be unfairly targeted necessarily based on surveillance information.
Or just think about the fact that this Snowden character had access to this. What if some rogue party in there, one person could use that to nefarious means?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's there and it's available.
Yeah, it's Pandora's box.
Yep. So, quickly, is Snowden a hero or a zero? Adam.
I guess I'm mixed because this is not an illegal thing. Like, he's whistleblowing on a thing that...
We all sort of knew probably was happening anyway. That's what,
like,
I think.
We knew. I mean, you know, like, so Colbert or The Daily Show had a thing this week about how, like, this is so terrible, even though we've known since 2006 that you know, this was going on and stuff like that. So I kind of just, I don't get why he did this in the way that he did it. It seems like whoever made the joke about him trying to get out of his wedding maybe was onto something. So I guess I'm mixed. I mean, I like whistleblowers. I think
he's a pro whistleblower guy.
Right. He's competing.
Especially sexy whistleblowers. That's a comedic right. callback to our last show.
Also, I just looked up his girlfriend, fiance, and B+ at best.
Wow. So,
that's what it really comes down to.
Did you see her dance?
No, I saw a picture of her on the pole.
Jared, okay. Go ahead. Your opinion.
I have to come down on the side of hero. I think that I agree that it's like, yes, he exposed something that we thought was going on anyway, but I think it's the depth and breadth of how what's going on and how much of it is being collected. I think that needed to be exposed.
So,
and
what about his calling out of the American government having a deep and aggressive spying campaign on the Chinese, for instance, sort of exposing that aspect? I think he just did that last week or whatever. Is that, where does that fall? Is that part of the hero? Is that part of the zero? Should maybe he just keep his mouth shut on some of that stuff or what?
Yeah, I mean, you hate to gosh, it's such a complicated thing. You can't just go binary on it and say, yes, he's hero, zero.
Well, you apparently do not watch news programs very often.
I'm sorry. It's like, I mean, yeah, it does damage our potential intelligence gathering for the Chinese to now realize that we've been, you know, doing a deep surveillance on them. But, I mean, they had to suspect it anyway, right?
You would think they're doing the same to us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I would think so. So, I don't know. I guess it's like, we all knew this was going on. So, I don't know. It's a
complicated subject.
It really is.
That's got a lot of legs, guys. This one is not going away anytime soon. And we will be focusing on this one out of every three shows from now on. I'm declaring it. The NSA PRISM scandal on the scope.
They're not, I mean, they're not tracking our internet searches, though, right?
No, probably not.
Okay.
You're safe.
I'm safe on that. Otherwise, I need to go home right now.
Your sexy brony searches are safe.
I think one of the best things to come out of this is that several graphic designers immediately redesigned the PRISM presentation slides. And they were much, much better.
Yeah.
Oh, I look forward to
because they are
that.
Terrible.
They
were
made
very bad. They look like they're made in PowerPoint from like 1994, and I don't. Whatever.
No time to make it look good. You got to just be looking in on people. That's it, guys. That's fair. So there you go. Electronics, PRISM, all covered in the scope. Nerd Roundtable. We did it in record time. So let's take a quick break. We'll push on with more scope, and coming soon, right after this.
We now join the scope already in progress.
Under the scope. All right, gentlemen, under the scope, coming at you with coming soon. A lot of coming at you, Jared. A lot of coming.
Yeah.
And sexy baby blues. Adam, well, what do we got going on in the world of pop culture?
There's a picture of Snowden's girlfriend staring at a globe like she doesn't understand what it is.
Yeah, what is this globe business? How is this flat?
Let's see. We don't care about her intelligence. We're not looking at book smarts.
We are coming up on the week of June 25th. And we've got some music coming out.
Please hit us.
Bret Michaels has a new album. I love the title here.
Yeah.
Jammin', no G, Jammin', mm-hmm. with friends. So there's nothing more that I like. The two things I like most in life
you
are...
You crunch on Mike. Go for it.
Bret Michaels and Jammin'.
So
this is going to really work out for me.
I want to know who his friends are. Like, what friends is he jamming with?
It's instructional on how to, like, can berries and stuff, right?
Of course. Today, this track is all about rhubarb. Strawberry rhubarb jam.
The follow-up is actually Canon with Friends.
Got it.
So this is just all about jamming.
This is just preparing, and then the next album is actually the...
let's see. Also, India Arre has an album coming out. I haven't heard from her in a long time. I haven't, anyway. John Legend. He's got an album. Mavis Staples. Queensryche. They're following on that Queens of the Stone Age hits. And
you got Queens.
And Smith Westerns. This
Smith
is
Westerns.
Wild Wild West sort of.
Not that kind of Smith Western.
Oh, okay. No. Movies. we've got our.
It's a good joke, though. I like it.
Thank you.
Too.
I think this is our second White House blowing up movie. This is White House Down.
Yep.
Right?
Could have gotten to see it for free, but.
We missed the sneak preview on that one.
Oh, well.
Hopefully we'll miss it again when it comes out.
DVD and Blu-ray, we've got The Call. All right.
That's a Storm. What's her face?
Halle Berry?
Halle Berry. She's a 911
operator. Oh, right, right. Okay, I think I remember seeing posters.
Yep.
CSI New York Season 9.
You love it.
Great.
The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. You guys saw that?
No.
Did not see
what
it.
Was the one that you guys saw?
Huh?
I don't know.
The magic one?
Yeah.
Now You See Me?
Now You See Me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now
I wish I hadn't seen me.
Mad TV Season 3. That's funny because it's like 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And The Beatles Help on Blu-ray.
Oh, okay. Sure. Interesting.
It is coming out.
Yep.
On Blu-ray.
Let's see. Video games. We've got Deadpool on the 360 and PS3. I didn't even know that was coming out.
The Marvel superhero, yeah. Deadpool.
The sarcastic Marvel superhero.
He's quippy.
He's a merc with a mouth.
Yes.
I think he is. It's like you're just reading the tagline, Jay.
Yeah. I used to read Deadpool all the time.
Is this Ride to Hell? Or is it actually Hide
to Hell? Let's say Ride to Hell.
Ride to Hell,
I like
Retribution.
I like Hide to Hell better. It's a tanning and skinning game.
And here's what's going to sell the Wii U's for Nintendo. Game & Wario. It's another Wario mini game collection, like the WarioWare games.
People love it.
People do. Those were always really fun.
They were fun.
Man, we are in that point of time and year where there is just nothing coming out for video games.
People are outside enjoying the weather.
What's wrong with them?
I know.
I agree.
That's it. So one thing that just to highlight here, there's kind of no obvious hits.
Well,
but
this is Jared's hits.
Oh, okay. Do we want to have Jared read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jared will talk about his hits and or misses.
Right. So as we started last show, we're doing a segment.
Adam totally screwing
doing a segment where we pick the hit and or miss of the coming week.
Yep.
It's coming soon. And there are no hits this week, in my opinion.
No hits.
So I'm going with just a miss. And my miss is the Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy, buddy cop comedy, The Heat.
Really? How could you even say that it's a miss, Jared? You haven't even seen it yet.
Shane and I have seen this film.
Oh, we have seen this film.
We have seen this film, and our review will be out later this week. And let's just say we were not kind to it. So... You can hit the review and miss the film.
So is this a
nice,
sequel,
Jared? I love it.
To Miss Congeniality, or is it just they happen to almost be playing the same character?
It's a good point. It's just a spiritual sequel, perhaps, okay. Not the same character.
Indeed,
not a great film. Adam.
Is this going to be successful? Are we going to hate the American public?
I don't know about that.
I think White House Down will beat it at the box office. Okay. I think they open the same week.
It's called counterprogramming.
Not that funny is the problem. It's not. It's just
you know why? Because Sandra Bullock's not funny.
She isn't. She's a poor straight person.
You're spoiling our review.
Oh, damn it.
Sorry.
we'll get off that topic. So there we go. Under the scope done. Hit or miss done.
We push forward, boys and girls.
Under the scope.
It's that time of the show where we kick it over to Jared.
Boy, we are keeping these shows tight.
Close stuff off. Go ahead,
Well,
Jared.
Since we are in a brand new format in a cycle of three shows, we don't actually have any comments on the last show because it's still in the can. Still in the can
it's
at the time that this is recorded.
The digital can.
So therefore, if you like the content of here, episode 141 of The Scope, you like in the new format, you hate in the new format, what do you think about Sony and Microsoft? What do you think about Prism? What do you think about Apple and WWC?
Or
we'd
sexy
like
blows.
To hear your comments, and you can write in at comments@thescopeshow.com. You can call the voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. Put it in your phone and dial it up. You can also hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. All those links are on the website at thescopeshow.com.
God, Jared.
Shane, back to you.
What a deliver. Any plugs, anybody? Any doing anything we need to know about?
No.
Last week, I mentioned my softball team not doing so well.
Yes.
We've come back, and we're just on fire.
We
won both games
time.
This week.
Wow. I thought you were saying you have a perfect record now. You've won every game.
We somehow went back in time? No, that's impossible, Shane.
Not with the scope. Anything is possible.
That's true. So we hope to keep up our rallies. Yeah, so if you find yourself in the northern suburbs, Michelle Bachmann territory, and you want to come check us out, please do.
Well, that's very,
it's not
going to
be her territory much longer.
That's
no,
true.
Sir, no,
some
sir.
Crazier person, perhaps.
Well, I'm going to put a big thanks out there to Adam and Jared, who is clearly the cornerstone of our little podcast,
as
according to some of our fans.
Cyrus Albuquerque, shout out to my bro.
And good job, guys, on this episode. So let's wrap this thing up. We'll
stop
be back.
The other one.
Whoa, we will back. We will back in another week with more Scope coming at you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying...
How do you say goodnight in Russia?
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.